Ladies and gentlemen, what's going on? Welcome to episode 129 of the It's Obvious Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Preston Pugh, and I'm joined by Garrett Drake.
That's just
I was thinking of an adjective to describe you, but there were too many good ones rushing to my head that I couldn't just pick
one.
Oh,
really? What's the first one that came to mind?
Voluptuous.
Voluptuous. Can you define that? Because I can't.
Voluptuous.
I would imagine that has something to do with maybe attractive or erotic, hopefully.
You know what?
Sensual?
My brain says I'm thinking of a curvy lady. That's what voluptuous thinks.
Is it a V in there or an F? Voluptuous or voluptuous?
I think it's voluptuous. It's a woman.
Specifically a woman?
Yeah, a curvaceous and sexually attractive female.
Voluptuous.
So I guess I use that incorrectly.
I can be that for you if you'd like.
Okay, sure.
All right.
It's just the first thing that rushed to my head.
The first word that would rush to my head in describing you with an adjective, if I was introducing you, I would say the bold.
The bold?
The brave.
Wow.
A man who stands for truth and justice. Preston Pugh.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I actually keep my mustache, though. I don't CGI it out.
That's good, because it'll cost you penny.
It's a pretty penny, for sure.
And it probably won't be worth it in the long run.
Yeah, probably. But anyways, how you doing?
I'm well, Preston. It's good to be here with you today.
That's good.
Our bellies are full of T-Bell, and we're ready to talk about video games.
Sounds good. How was your T-Bell?
It was pretty good, Preston. I imagine we're going straight into Taco Talk. You know what my goal is for this podcast going into 2018? I'd love to have, I think we've discussed this, little guitar licks like from Bill and Ted that introduce each new segment of the podcast. Like, oh, hey, man, what's the news? Does a little guitar lick. That's kind of in relation to our intro and outro, but it's sort of like Bill and Ted style.
Okay.
And there's a new lick for each segment, like, you know, news, community questions, and of course, Taco Bell. I don't know if the bell sound effect is patent, but I'd love to edit that into every single episode from now on.
Yeah.
We do Taco Talk.
I highly doubt
that. Or just pitch it up or down a little bit so it's technically not the same sound.
I hear you.
We'll
or
see.
We just buy our own gong and just
we could
smash it and record it.
That'd same be great. Yeah, we'll think of something, but that's a goal of mine going into 2018. Perhaps,
okay.
Well, I don't know if Kenny Arling still listens to this podcast or not. I haven't heard from Kenny since like the week he gave us our intro song.
Oh, wow.
He's like, all right, guys, peace, and he's gone. I haven't heard from Dan either, who made our beautiful intros.
Oh, wow.
So those guys, man, contributed heavily to this YouTube channel.
They did. We're very appreciative of them.
Yes, yeah, so I might contact Kenny and see if he's willing to throw us a little or a few licks for the podcast.
That'd be cool.
We'll see. Maybe he'll tell us to F off. I don't know.
Maybe.
But
he's
Taco Bell.
Big for us now.
Yeah. In Taco Bell, I had my usual, of course. I think I talked about that last week or 2 weeks ago. I said it's never going to be exciting because I am committed to my meal at Taco Bell.
Gotcha. I mixed it up a wee bit. I got the new Cravings box. Came with some cinnamon twists instead of the nachos.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I haven't had those in a while, and they're very tasty.
I was on a kick for a while where I'd have my meal, and then for the road home, because typically there's a decent amount of traffic on Saturdays and Sundays in our area.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, it's going to be at least a 10-15-minute trip. I'd like to snack on some cinnamon twists. I used to get some cinnamon twists for the road, but I haven't done that in a while. Perhaps I'll do that next week. Actually, there won't be a next week.
You're right. You're going to be somewhere.
I will. I will be in New York City this weekend, Friday the 1st, I believe, through Monday the 4th, if I'm not mistaken. It's the weirdest thing. It's called Mobile Masters, and it's essentially all these Twitch influencers that I guess are that double as pro gamers in some sense are all coming together in New York City to duke it out in the top competitive mobile games for this big Twitch streamer extravaganza. And I'm going there to do interviews and just document it and make some videos and write about it and stuff and cover it for COD Connected. So that'll be a fun trip. First time going to New York City. I was disappointed because I was going to go earlier this year for a big Xbox event prior to Xbox One X's release. And I did not get to go because of school. And I was like, dang it, man, I should have skipped, because I did end up passing that class that I was taking all those crazy tests for, which is good. But I was worried that if I skipped too many classes, I'd fail. So
better safe than sorry.
Yes. And it was good to be safe. And now, in a sense, I'm being rewarded that I actually do get to go to New York. Granted, the trip's a little odd compared to the Xbox trip. I don't know exactly how I'm going to cover it.
Yeah.
But I'll worry about that when I get there. But I'm glad that I at least get to go to New York now.
Yeah.
So at least
this time you won't have the stress of
that hanging over my head.
Yeah.
Like, I'm skipping school right now.
Yeah. So this will probably be better.
Yeah. So it should be fun. I'm hoping at least one person, I bump into one person on the street and they're like, I'm walking here. I'm hoping that happens at least once. That's classic New York. At least
start just running into people.
Right. Hoping for that one person to respond that way. But if anyone lives in New York and wants to hang one of those nights, because I'm going to have a lot of free evenings where I'm going to attempt to explore parts of the city. I don't really know what to expect. I mean, my father goes to and from New York City constantly for work, so maybe I'll ask some tips from him where I should go and what I should and shouldn't do while I'm there. Mm-hmm. But if anyone lives in New York and wants to hang one evening, I will be available in the Big Apple. So it'll be exciting. But we're going to do the podcast later on this week, and it'll come out at its normal time next Monday. But next week is officially our Game Awards predictions episode. It's going to be a fun one.
Exciting.
Yeah, and you may or may not be able to join Jacob and I for the Game Awards live stream I'm hoping to do. We're going to stream it. I plan to stream it exactly how we did the E3 coverage, where we'd stream it live and do a reaction and maybe do like a post video as well in addition to that. Mm-hmm. I think that'd be really fun. And it'd be a fun way to connect with the community other than just, oh, we're going to stream some Overwatch or some PUBG. It's just somewhere to hang out on Thursday night, December 7th.
I agree.
So it'll be cool.
Continue really quick.
Okay. Well, Taco Bell was wonderful as always. Now, my meal was the same. You know, everyone knows by now, if you've been listening to this podcast for an extended period of time, steak quesadilla, no creamy jalapeno, fiery cheesy gordita crunch, beefy nacho griller. I cut out the cheesy roll up today. But those were the three big items, and they were all exquisite. That Taco Bell at that time of day on Saturdays and Sundays absolutely nails it. It's beautiful. Whereas recently I went through the drive-through in Atlanta at a Taco Bell at about 2 a.m., and my gordita was so ravaged that you probably couldn't even tell what it was when I opened the wrapper.
Wow.
And the shells in a thousand pieces, the flatbread part of it was just ripped in half, beef strewn everywhere. I was like,
someone threw it at a wall.
Yeah, someone threw this at a wall because they're pissed I came to the drive through so late. Reminds me when Zach went through a McDonald's when there was an ice storm coming in. It was snowing heavily in our area, and all these stores and restaurants were closing in the middle of the day because of this big ice storm coming through. But we decided to go through a McDonald's drive through, and Zach got a double cheeseburger and a fry. And when he opened the wrapper, or maybe it was a Big Mac, he opened the little box it comes in, and someone had literally taken a bite out of it and put it in there.
Nice.
So I didn't know if I was upset or...
They were just tasting it for
Or if I respected the person for doing that.
Making sure it was okay.
Exactly. Make sure it wasn't poisoned. So, good times. But Taco Bell, man, always a blessing.
It was very good today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, on your trip Friday, or you're leaving Friday.
I am.
You're going to pick up that Xenoblade 2?
That's actually not a bad idea, now that I think about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, granted, the trip from here to New York is relatively short, so it isn't like I'm going cross-country again, but...
Yeah.
I still have Mario to nick away at, so maybe I'll stick to that. That's the thing. I don't know anything about Xenoblade. Maybe that's a good thing for me. I'll go into it not having any expectations.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it either. All I've heard is just the praise for the series and just having a really big JRPG to, you know, nick away with on a handheld just sounds exciting to me. So from what I've seen, it looks great, and I can't, you know, see the series dropping off, you know, and just sucking all of a sudden. So I'm assuming it's going to be a good game. But, you know, who knows? Hopefully there will be some early reviews coming out. So.
I hope it's good.
Yeah. I almost got it really cheap. I told you that there was this glitch with Toys R Us's website where you could add like a 25% off and then 15% off and then 10% off.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was going to use it to buy Xenoblade, but they were completely sold out. So I'm kind of
shame.
Yeah, I'm kind of just waiting to see unless it's just awful, just horrible reviews, which, like I said, I just cannot see happening. I'm probably going to pick it up at some point. So
I'm going to wait to hear your opinion before I pick it up.
Okay.
Because I trust yours over most reviewers.
Oh, wow.
Because our views on games typically align.
They do.
So I will wait to hear your opinion.
Have I ever really liked it? Oh, yep. Final Fantasy. I'm trying to think of if I've ever really liked a game
more than I have.
That you were like lukewarm on or just hated.
Yeah, Final Fantasy.
I don't think you've ever hated
one.
A game that I liked, really liked.
I think that's probably the only one.
Yeah. You don't hate that game. Else.
I mean, there's a few games that you've played that I haven't touched, like Technomancer and a handful of others.
Yeah, well, I never claimed Technomancer was great.
Yeah. So. Just oddly, you platinumed it then, didn't you?
I did platinum it. I think I'm like the only person to ever platinum it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive. I wouldn't be surprised if Nikolai Fogg from the Community Platinum did.
I think he has probably higher taste in games than to play through that game.
He has a lot of Platinums.
I'm totally lying, but there was like one final trophy I like legitimately had to figure out for myself, which is I guess how you're supposed to do these trophies instead of looking it up. But I could not look it up because nobody had, I'm sure somebody had gotten it, but nobody posted how to. But anyways. Nice. Yeah. But yeah, I'm excited for Xenoblade.
Well, cool.
I still need to finish Mario as well, though, so I'm slacking behind on that. But speaking of playing some stuff, what'd you dive into this week?
Well, I have beaten Battlefront 2's campaign. Now, anyone from the community that's pissed that I purchased Battlefront, you're welcome to hate me. I'm sorry. Maybe I deserve it, but it's Star Wars and I had to play it. So I played through the campaign, and gameplay-wise, I thought it was just fine. Definitely not too exciting. I mean, a lot of the missions felt like multiplayer matches, which really isn't a bad thing, because the multiplayer is a lot of fun in Star Wars. Mm-hmm. But storytelling, I was actually pretty impressed. Writing specifically, I mean, the way it kind of progressed was a little weird. I mean, I mean, the campaign is pretty short, so it feels like I don't want to spoil it too much. Actually, I can't say anything, because I don't want to spoil it for people. What I will say is that I enjoyed most of the characters. I thought all the performances were outstanding. And like you said, Janina Gavankar was awesome, especially hearing her on multiple podcasts and her real personality, how flamboyant she can be compared to her persona in Star Wars was impressive. I thought the Paul Blackthorne, who played Hask, was excellent. Really liked that actor from Arrow. Del Mico was a good character, and I actually liked the main heroes you get to play as in the game, like Han and Leia and Luke. I thought all their portions, at least in the cutscenes especially, I enjoyed it. I think Han's mission was my favorite as far as lore is concerned, especially because I watched this YouTuber called Star Wars Explained. I'm sure some of you out there do as well. Really great at, he's just very knowledgeable in Star Wars lore and just everything about it. He can actually translate that. I can't remember what it's called. There's a language in Star Wars that he's able to translate and understand all of it. That's how knowledgeable he is in Star Wars. So he goes in depth on all of the most of the campaign in the spoiler review, but he also does this series called Lore Play, where he plays through each mission of the game, and while he's playing, instead of just being like a typical Let's Play like we do, just being goofy the entire time, he talks about the deeper meaning behind certain things and stuff you'll see or maybe overlook as a casual fan of Star Wars that you may not have noticed. So it's pretty cool and it's very insightful. In that sense, when I really paid attention to his spoiler review, I realized just how deep that game can actually go when you really dig into it. Mm-hmm. Like on the surface, it seems pretty simplistic, but on each mission, Han specifically, which I don't want to spoil, if you just walk around listening to a bunch of conversations, you can gather a ton of cool information just about the world of Star Wars. And I just like the time period it takes place in between Return of the Jedi and Force Awakens. Still, I think there's a whole lot more they could explore there. I don't know if they ever will. But the fact that it's canon is pretty interesting, and I liked getting to see what all of our favorite characters and new characters were up to during that time period. Specifically, the final mission, which I'm sure to some people might be obvious if you haven't played it, but just in case, I don't want to spoil it, I thought the final mission was a ton of fun, and it was cool. And it's cool to think about it and go back and watch Force Awakens and think about the final mission of this game. Mm-hmm. So overall, when I finished it, I was like, I actually thought that was pretty fun. I thought it was fun. It was not amazing by any means, especially in terms of gameplay, but storytelling, I was pretty satisfied by the end.
Nice.
So, what about you?
In terms of Star Wars? Or
yeah, have you beaten it yet?
No, I have not.
Okay.
I'm about probably halfway, a little bit more than halfway through. And so far, I guess my feelings are kind of aligned with you. The gameplay isn't anything, you know, crazy. It's you know, run from point A to point B or defend something, or you know, occasionally jump in a vehicle or something.
Right.
What are the giant walkers, the AT-ATs?
Yeah,
I just did a mission where I was in one of those things, and it was just I'm walking and I'm shooting stuff. Like, it wasn't, you know, that big of a deal, but you know, I think the story's pretty interesting, and I'm not as, you know, into the Star Wars lore as you, so it's just maybe, you know, a little meh to me because it's, you know, it's Star Wars, but it's fine. I'll beat it at some point this week. But I probably played a decent a bit more multiplayer than you have.
I've only played a handful of matches.
Yeah, I've played a couple. I think I'm like level 11 or 12 or something. And I think that's fun. I still don't understand the progression system at all. I don't even open any of the boxes or anything. I just jump in and play like
what is there to be excited about in those boxes? I don't understand it.
Yeah, there's nothing exciting. I mean, the progressive system sucks. It deserves all the ridicule it's getting. You know, it's being torn apart for the progression system because I don't care enough to even dive into what it is. I could care less, but I haven't really even played the Galactic Assault missions a lot either. If I have some time, I'll just jump in and play a team deathmatch match or whatever, and it's fun. It's whatever. It's just a fun, if I don't have a lot of time, it's just easy to jump in and play a few matches and hop out. Yeah. So I enjoy it for that.
Yeah, the one thing that game has going for it is that it is very easy to pick up and play, and it's just absolutely gorgeous. I mean, even on the PS4 Pro, it looks awesome, but when I was playing on your rig temporarily when I was at your house a few days ago, it looks outstanding, and it just performs incredibly.
Yeah.
Like, it looked gorgeous.
Yeah.
So, it's a fun game.
Yeah, it is.
Overall. I don't want to leave out Lando's mission. Again, I won't spoil it, but that was one of my favorite missions in the game by far, when you get to Lando's mission.
Yeah, I just met Lando, but I'm not playing as him right now.
I will say I'm also very impressed with the voice acting with the main characters, especially, or the main heroes, because their voices are almost spot on. Like Han, even Luke and Lando and Leia all sound like themselves.
Yeah, I thought they did too. I was listening to somebody kind of rip into it, saying that they sound like cheap versions. But I thought it sounded pretty good.
I thought Han especially. I was convinced that it was Han Solo.
Yeah.
So it was cool.
Very cool.
But yeah.
But you came over to my house this week.
I did, yeah. We did a couple things at your house.
Yeah.
First of all, it was interesting just being at your house that you own and live in.
Rent it.
You rent it, but it's technically your house.
That I rent, yeah.
Yeah, that you live in with your wife. And I was like, this is kind of strange. But it was a fun time. We hung your new fancy TV. So that's
That was fun.
That was fun.
I appreciate the help on
it. Felt like old times. We were both working at SMS together in the glory days.
Yeah.
We'll get to Justice League in a minute. We even saw Justice League.
No.
And we began working on our super secret project that is probably the most creative we've had to have been in the history of our channel, but at the same time, the stupidest we've ever been.
Yeah.
But it's a work in progress. We have a couple ideas jotted down for what we're going to do. We don't want to give it away because we're hoping to just release it out of nowhere and just people have to take it in for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see how it goes. I don't know if we have a time frame for it just yet, but we have ideas circulating that we think are pretty interesting. Yeah. So I guess we'll leave it at that for now.
Yeah.
Well, we got the ball really rolling on that project.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah.
So we played a few games as well. Well, not really. I just kind of showed you stuff on my computer.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it. Played about 5 minutes, maybe.
It was like when we were kids.
Yeah.
Except this time you actually let me try some of the
games. Yeah, I let you touch my stuff.
Yeah.
Just for a little bit.
Hey, man, hop on here for about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So.
Sorry, if we had more time, I would have let you play as much as you wanted to.
Oh, no, that's okay. It's totally fine with me.
Cool.
It was a fun time, though.
It was fun.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed you coming over.
Yeah, thanks
maybe
for having me.
We should do it again sometime.
Yeah, maybe we should.
Yeah, I kicked my wife out of the house.
Yeah.
Just me and you.
Just the boys.
Yeah, just us.
Yeah, we'll have to get back together to work on our super secret project anyway, so.
For sure.
I look forward to that.
Absolutely. What else you play besides Star Wars?
I beat Wolfenstein. Mm-hmm. And I can happily say that is easily one of the best games I've played all year. Now, there's been many games that I would say are the best games I've played all year, but it's definitely in my top five.
That's great.
Wolfenstein is outstanding. I'm not just saying that because we're doing a giveaway, which I will remind everyone here in a minute, but Wolfenstein, like I said a week or two ago, the writing and performances are remarkable in that game. Like, I was blown away at just how good the performances are and just how creative the writing is. I mean, all of the cutscenes are so interesting and so engaging and so entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
And all the characters are very memorable well in their own way. So that's what I enjoyed all the characters. And on top of that, the gameplay is just outstanding.
Yep.
The run and gun gameplay, even the stealth is really good. And I like the constant back and forth nature. If you get into an area and there's two or more officers to take out, if you don't want all the guys to flood you. But even when they do, I don't really mind because the gameplay is so fun.
Mm-hmm.
And all the weapons are cool. I'll agree with you that I wish there were more weapons.
Mm-hmm.
But I did like all of the upgrades you could do to each one.
Yeah.
So especially the shotgun. I use the shotgun most of the time in gun battles because they're just so deadly.
I would have a automatic rifle in one hand and a shotgun in the other. And that would just pretty much melt anything.
Right.
So.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's again, there's actually a surprising amount to spoil in that game, so I don't want to go into too much detail, but BJ Blazkowicz is such an awesome character.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone who surrounds him is great too, but it's great because I recently watched GameSpot's History of Wolfenstein video, and it's amazing to see how far that character has come just from Machine Games, the way they've evolved him over time. So I can't wait to see what they do with the third one.
Mm-hmm.
So
now let me ask you something about Wolfenstein that I've heard some people throw out there, and mainly some game journalists and stuff. I want to stop listening to as many gaming podcasts as I listen to, because I don't want to. I noticed last week especially, I think I threw out another podcast like 3 or 4 times. I don't want to. Honestly, I don't even enjoy listening to him that much. It's just something to do, but I don't want him like diluting my own opinion. I want to come into this show and what we do, you know, having my own complete opinion. So I kind of need to stop listening. There's way more other podcasts on other services that I could, you know, be listening to. So I need to kind of keep it to, unless there's like a subject I'm really interested in, I kind of need to just stop listening to him for that reason alone. But one of those podcasts, has repeatedly said that Wolfenstein is too hard. Everything okay?
Yeah, I just cranked you up a wee bit.
Okay, sounds good. Sorry. What are your feelings on this? Because the particular podcast I'm listening to, it's been brought up multiple times, and even different people they've had on have also had the same opinion as them, saying that it's just too hard, that they've had to crank the difficulty all the way down to easy, and they've died as well.
Riddle me this. Which difficulty is Don't Hurt Me Daddy? Is that the easiest?
That's like normal, I think.
Okay, that's what I played on.
Uh-huh.
And I will
that's
say
like the middle one?
I think so.
Okay.
It's I don't think I did the very easiest. I did the next one up. Only because I knew from Wolfenstein 1 that game is surprisingly difficult. Mm. Not to a point where I'd say it's too hard, but I will say that there were a handful of times I died. Not because I was like incapable of shooting things, I would just get overwhelmed sometimes. Yeah. But maybe people don't understand that that game, you'd think it's run and gun, which in some ways there are sections where you can run and gun and be okay. But surprisingly, you need to take cover a decent amount of the time when you're getting in these gunfights. And that's when I found myself surviving the most, is when I would sit behind a piece of cover and just pop out and shoot guys.
Mm-hmm.
But when there's only a few left, I'd run and gun and blast them to bits with my shotguns. But I don't know if I describe it as too hard, but I will say on my difficulty, I was surprised at how difficult it actually was.
It goes, can I play daddy to Don't Hurt Me?
That's what I
bring it
on
to Do or Die, to Call Me Beer, Terror Billy, and then I Am Death Incarnate. And then when you beat that, it goes to the Mind Laban, which is if you die one time, you have to completely restart the game.
See, I was thinking about that. I was thinking, how is that even possible?
I saw somebody do it, but it took them like 11 hours. And if they just died in that one, just at one spot. Just
that's crazy.
Yeah, it's ridiculous that that's a trophy, but
I can't imagine playing the game like that.
Yeah,
I guess you would have to creep very slowly in every section.
I mean, you'd have to know that game like, you know, the back of your hand. I played on Bring 'Em On, just the normal difficulty. And besides the final encounter, which I died to one time, I hardly died.
Mm-hmm.
So not to be like, oh, I'm a good gamer, but I didn't really see what anybody complaining about the difficulty. I didn't think it was that hard at all. And I was playing it on PC, so maybe it was easier to aim and stuff, but I'm still getting used to, you know, first person shooter. So I think a few of the times I died probably were because I had like a brain fart and accidentally ran or something as I was trying to crouch or whatever. But anyways, I just don't think it was that hard. So I just thought that was pretty interesting that not one time during my playthrough did I change the difficulty or anything or think that anything was too hard. And that's just, I've seen that come up repeatedly. So I was interested in what you thought about that.
Yeah, no, I didn't think it was too hard either. I mean, I died definitely at least 5 or 6 times throughout the campaign, but it's typically when I did something stupid.
Yeah,
but
it's really easy. Like, even if you don't want, I mean, there are a few firefights that are unavoidable, but for the most part, these big sections, if you stealth correctly, you know, and you're able to sneak through, you can completely bypass big battles and keep reinforcements from even coming. So I feel like the only way that you would make this game harder on yourself in a way that you could, you know, be dying more than normal as if every area you're just running into with, like, you know, dual wielding, just shooting at everything that moves, and then just being completely overwhelmed from all angles and not, you know, getting a strategic getting to like a good part of the map where you know people aren't coming behind you or whatever. So
yeah, I think the most satisfying gunfight I got in, I mean, there's a lot of amazing moments in that game, but just as far as just straight playing the game is when you're, there's a part when you're on a train and there's a tight corridor.
Yeah.
I had like 20 Nazis funneled down the same hallway and I was dual wielding those shotguns. It was the bloodiest and gnarliest gunfight I've ever been in a video game. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just an absolute bloodbath.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, you can even tell what was a human being after I was done.
It's pretty, that game's pretty violent.
Very violent, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I think it totally suits the tone of the game too.
Yeah. I think I initially said when I was talking about this game, a week or two or three ago, about how this game, just how it handles humor, but and how it, especially just in the story, but just in also just the grotesque violence, the way it handles it, but it can also be super serious and just impactful almost. Like there are like two or three story beats throughout the game where it's just like, oh dang, like this is going on, and then there's just other parts that it's just the craziest thing you've ever seen. So yeah, it's just super cool how it can balance all of that stuff at the same time and still like feel like it, you know, deserves to be there, you mm-hmm. know.
So. Yeah, I was going to say that's what I think I was so impressed with the writing, is how perfectly it rides the line between humor and drama. Yeah. Especially when you first meet, what's the lady's name who kind of leads you? You meet her in New York.
I forgot her name.
I can't remember her name. It's funny because she's one of the most memorable characters, but yeah. I can't. I'm bad with names in any medium.
I know
medium.
BJ and I know Max.
Yeah. It's funny because
pretty much all
it's funny because I recognize all their faces. I can hear all their voices yeah. and their personalities. I'm just bad with names.
Yeah.
But when you meet her and she tells you the story of when the nuke was dropped in New York yeah. and then it instantly cuts to comedy right out of that, I was like, that was so amazing. Because you are so, it's like such an intense moment when she's mm-hmm. describing like a story. And then when it cuts back to humor, I'm like, yeah. this game is so good.
Yeah.
I love when you meet those guys in New Orleans too. That scene was fantastic.
Yeah. That was great.
So, but
definitely
awesome
a
game.
Fantastic game. You should play it.
Should definitely
and,
play it.
Wow, what a coincidence. You can win a copy by entering our contest.
You can. Again, I don't know how often everyone on Spotify, iTunes, and out there in the world, aside from YouTube, how often you tune into this podcast. But if you weren't here last week, we are doing a Wolfenstein giveaway, a Wolfenstein 2 giveaway on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/itsobviousgaming. And you can get there via the links in the descriptions of any platform you're listening on. And yeah, you'll see it. It just says Wolfenstein 2 giveaway, enter here. And all you got to do is follow the instructions on that video to enter. And you are, you're there. You're in the contest. And we will throw all your names into the online hat system I use on this website. And it will draw a name. And the contest is still going on. It ends on technically Wednesday, December 6th at midnight, but technically that Tuesday, it goes all the way through Tuesday to December 5th. And when it hits midnight on that Wednesday, it'll cut off, and then we will announce the winner on Friday the 8th. So yeah, good luck to all of you. And thank you to all of you who have tuned in to that or joined that contest. We appreciate all the support. I mean, obviously we do the giveaway because we want to give back to you guys, but at the same time, we use it as a tool to grow the YouTube channel and get more exposure. Mm-hmm. So we're hoping to hit that 2K subscriber mark by the end of the year, and we're getting there pretty swiftly, and we greatly yeah. appreciate all the support. So again, enter that contest if you haven't already. You could win a free copy of Wolfenstein, and our audience is pretty small still, so you have a pretty strong chance of winning.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Video game wise, I played some more Mario. Mm-hmm. Not a whole lot. I played for about an hour last night when I was at work killing mm-hmm. time. And I collected, I assume most of the moons I can see on the map at the Seaside Kingdom. But I know if I do the volleyball thing, there's you know, that volleyball game you can play.
Yeah.
If you hit 100 volleys, you get another moon, which I've only made it to 20. So I know I can get another one there. But all the ones that appear on your map when you hit those silver cubes in the end game, mm-hmm. I collected all those. I'm kind of bouncing from kingdom to kingdom, collecting all the moons when I have time to kill.
Nice.
So yeah, the game's excellent. I love my favorite moons to find are the ones where you go down like plumber tubes mm-hmm. and now there's all kinds of mini games inside those. So yeah. Those are fun.
Very cool.
But yeah, fun game.
That's it.
That and I dabbled in Animal Crossing Pocket Camp for about mm-hmm. 30 minutes and mm-hmm. I was so bored instantly.
Mm-hmm.
So I like I said, I might go back to it if I'm bored. Tonight at work, I'll have time to kill. I might play a little bit of it, but I was just bored. Yeah. So, I mean, I loved Animal Crossing back in the day, mm-hmm. but I don't know. Right now, I'm not too into it.
I think that's an epiphany I've had is I don't even know if... I don't think I would enjoy Animal Crossing as much as I did back as when I was a kid now.
Right.
I just don't know if that type of game really, you know, jibes with me right now. Because even when I got New Leaf, I was so excited to hop back into an Animal Crossing game, and it did not hook me. It did not hook me at all. It was... You know, I went and talked to Tom Nook, and he's like, oh, pay your bills. And I just started running around, and there's nothing to do. Yeah. So I just kind of had to put it up for the day. Mm-hmm. So I thought that the, you know, a mobile version of that would suit, you know, Animal Crossing more, because you just get on for 15, 20 minutes a day, you know, finish all your stuff, and then you can wait till tomorrow. And so far, this is what that's been, and I'm enjoying it. Mm-hmm. It's fine. I'm, you know, helping out my animal friends and talking to them and doing quests and inviting them back to my camp. And I have quite a few. I have like 8 or 9 dudes back at my campsite right now. And
so they just hang out there permanently once you invite them?
I think so. I think that's the point, is you just get them over to your campsite. But for them to come back over, you have to have the correct furniture for them, which is kind of rude when you think about it.
That is rude.
They're like, we're not going to come hang out with you unless you have a jungle gym, a bicycle, a bench, a guitar, like all of this stuff. They're
gives
like,
you some motivation.
Yeah, so... You know, I'm building that stuff, and I'm fishing, and I'm picking up fruit, and I go and I bought a cool shirt, or no, a cool like hat the other day, and I bought a TV for my campsite. So just stuff like that. It's fine. It's fun. It's just something to do when, you know, I'm on the toilet or waiting for something. So it's filling the purpose that I thought it would fill. Mm-hmm. So I'm still, I know a lot of people are clamoring for one on the Switch, but. Which I'm definitely would be interested to see what they would do with it. But, yeah, unfortunately, I think that just type of game is just, I'm not really into that type of game anymore, unfortunately. Because even like Stardew Valley, I fell off of that.
So did I.
So hardcore. I really enjoyed the, you know, 2-3 hours I played of it. Mm-hmm. And then I forgot what else came out, but I have absolutely no interest to go back to that game whatsoever.
Neither do I.
And I picked it up, you know, a little bit after I had stopped, and I played it for like 5 minutes and was just done. I just don't know if that those type of games are really calling to me anymore. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I know there's a time in my life, and if I was in the right time, the right place, Stardew Valley would be incredible to me. And it really is a solid game. I just, same with me, I got bored pretty
quickly.
I
think we were both in the same mood when we initially played Animal Crossing, and then Harvest Moon: A Wonderful Life came out.
Yeah.
Like, we were into those hardcore.
Yeah.
And I think I'm just kind of over that now. Mm-hmm. Even the original Animal Crossing on DS, forgot what it's called, but I was so into that. I was a part of the forums, and I had just random people coming into my town and changing fruit and talking and stuff. Like, I thought that was the coolest thing. But I'm not into it anymore.
Yeah.
So, which is kind of sad, because I really do like Animal Crossing.
Me too.
But I guess I don't at the same time.
Yeah.
So
I have very fond memories of playing on GameCube, so I'll never forget those days.
Yeah. I don't know. What did we do? Did we just run around and like,
I think,
pick up
weeds and stuff? I would play that game for hours.
Yeah. Like, I don't even know what we did.
I think that was the first taste of real freedom I had in a video game. That's why I was so crazy about it at the time. It's like, I can go over here if I want to. I can go over there if I want to. I can do anything I want. Yeah. And the fact that I named the town and I could customize my house and my look of my character with like different clothing and everything, and paying off my bills. Something about that at the time really fascinated me.
I guess now we got to do it in real life.
That's why.
Don't want to do it in a video game. Yeah.
Right. No matter how annoying and adorable the animals are.
Yeah. They are cute.
So, yeah. Well,
that's excellent, Garrett. I played, of course, some more Assassin's Creed Origins. Mm-hmm. I'm still really enjoying the game. It is just, man, every time I get back into the main narrative, it just keeps getting better, and it just is surprising the crap out of me. You know, I haven't played a Assassin's Creed like main storyline since, you know, Brotherhood, I think, that I was really like heavily invested in. I just got to the a town called Crocodidopolis, I think that's what it's called, and there's a like a gladiator arena there. Mm-hmm. And I had to go through this main story to find out who this person called the Crocodile is. And I met up with one of my friends from Siwa, and she was a gladiator in the arena, so I got to fight beside her, and it got into like the politics of being a gladiator in terms of just what that means and stuff. And she was really cool character. And it's just like you're fighting in the arena with like the crowd screaming and stuff. But then when you would go back to like the green room or what, I'm sure it wasn't called that, but just the hangout area, you just like talk to her and stuff. I don't know. Just that was just a really cool part of the game. And yeah, I'm just still enjoying the crap out of that game.
That game so fun. Looked and felt incredible on your PC.
Yeah.
Like I was like, this is beyond night and day compared to console. So much to the point where I don't have a fancy 4K monitor like you, but just based on performance alone, I was like, I might just, because I'm hardly into Assassin's Creed. I've maybe played an hour and a half of it. Mm-hmm. Like I might as well just start fresh on PC because it feels that good to play on PC.
Yeah. 60 frames in Assassin's Creed feels very nice.
Yes, I mean, 60 frames in any game feels nice, but yeah, especially in Assassin's Creed.
It is really astounding just swapping back and forth between 30 and 60. Not that 30 is unplayable. I mean, I completely finished Horizon Zero Dawn, and that's in 30, and I freaking love the crap out of that game. It's incredible. But, I mean, clearly if you have the choice, 60 feels way better.
Yeah, so I agree.
But yeah, I'm still nicking away at that game, and I'm like 50-something hours into it, and the map, I still haven't even been to more than half of the map. So if I'm like halfway through whatever, then holy crap, this game is so freaking long. Mm-hmm. And the only kind of filler things that I've noticed is just taking over the bandit camps. It's kind of like Far Cry, you know, you see a camp, you have to take out a commander, and you have to find some loot chests in the compound, and when you do that, it's, you know, checked off on the map. But in terms of, I've already talked about it ad nauseum, but the side quests are not like that at all. There's stories behind it. Like I there was this one side quest I was doing where this girl was about to commit suicide, and I like ran up there and kind of talked her down, and I walked her down this mountain, and we got like attacked by some jaguars, or not cheetahs, and I killed them, and she was like, oh dang, like I really, that kind of put fear into me. I actually don't want to die. Like there was a narrative. It wasn't just like, oh, we gotta throw fighting in here, which I guess they did, but they made it make sense narratively in this side quest. Mm-hmm. And it continued. I think I had to find something for her husband or something. I don't know. It's just like every side quest I do is something awesome like that. It's not just, you know, go find me 4 goat pelts or whatever. So, but yeah, I'm still enjoying that. Played a little bit more Mario. I'm to the Food Kingdom.
Oh, I forgot you haven't beaten it yet.
No, not yet. I'm pretty sure I'm close, right?
Oh, yeah, you're very close.
Very close, yeah.
Yeah, I love the Food Kingdom.
I'll probably knock that out here in the next week. I really want to kind of finish up everything. Not that I'm going to finish up Mario in this time, but Assassin's Creed, I don't even know if that's physically possible, like I said, because I really want to get all the achievements and stuff in that game, because I like it so much. And I think that's kind of a good way to play that game, is just to finish everything. I don't know if I can do that this week, but I really kind of want to clear out my backlog before Xenoblade 2 comes out, because I really want to, you know, invest in that game next week. So, but yeah, that's pretty much all I played. I played a little bit more Skyrim in VR. I got to Whiterun and continued that main quest, and I went exploring a little bit more. And you just released a video.
We did, yeah. If anyone was interested in seeing us play Skyrim in VR, I do have a video on our YouTube channel of me squealing at Skeevers and Bleak Falls Barrow and Skyrim. Yeah. So that opening side mission, we go after the Golden Claw.
Yeah.
Classic. All the memories were flooding back to me while I was playing.
See, I've played that mission a bagillion times.
And that was my second time playing it entire life.
I've started so many new Skyrim saves and I've played through that mission.
All right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what's especially fun for me is that I've played Skyrim since it initially launched in 2011, but I haven't played more than about 30 minutes up until now. Like the remastered edition, I got outside of the opening cave and I stopped there because something else came out, and that's as far as I made it.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
you still have it?
I still have it.
Dang.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I mean, obviously I will not be going back to that because I have it on VR now. I don't know if I'm going to play through the entire game in VR, because I told you I have that weird problem now. I can't play more than 30 minutes. My eyes feel like they're going to explode. I'm going to have to look into that. I don't know if I can get like...
I've never heard that before.
I don't know if I can get glasses that you can wear underneath. Not like glasses, yeah. But if they wear some kind of eye protection that's made to wear under PlayStation VR, because my eyes made feel like they're melting, like they're on fire. I don't know why.
Are they just dry? Thing. Do they get really dried out?
No. It isn't like that. It's just they feel like they're just going to explode. I don't know how to describe it. Uh-huh. It's terrible. I don't get motion sick anymore, which is great, but my eyes, man, they are not having it. But Skyrim in VR is very surreal, even though it looks pretty terrible, like you were saying. Like, I've yet to see something where I was like, wow, that's beautiful. But it is cool to be able to look out and see stuff in the distance and just be up next to like a giant mountain. Mm-hmm. And just giant creatures in general, like those giant spiders, man, are like towering over you. Those are pretty horrifying too. It's funny, I'm more scared of the skeevers than I am of the spiders. I don't know why that is.
Yeah.
But fun game in VR. I think we're going to do at least one or two more of those. I think Jacob's going to come over. I'm going to do some more this week.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much more. I mean, I dived into it a few times or dove into it a few times this past week just for like 30-minute sessions or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think that might be how I treat it. I can't see myself playing the entire game and all the DLC in VR. That's just
crazy.
Insane.
Yeah.
But it is cool for like, you know, little short play sessions just to mess around in it.
Totally. So, I'd like to see all the major landmarks of Skyrim in VR before I like put it down.
Yeah.
Like, I'd like to visit all the cities. I'd like to do a couple Dark Brotherhood missions.
Yeah.
And at least fight a dragon. Yeah. I'd probably be satisfied.
I'd like to get to the throat of the world and just look out.
Oh, yeah. That'd be great.
That might be pretty
cool. Look out and it's just nothingness because it's in VR.
You can't render.
But I will say my favorite part of it is the bow and arrow in VR. I love doing that. I think that's so fun. So, very satisfying to nail a headshot when you're physically pulling the string of the bow.
Yes.
So, aside from that, because I also played some Skyrim, like you mentioned, I've been neck deep in the frozen wilds of Horizon Zero Dawn. Hmm. And it's reminded me of why it's, I don't know, because again, there's a lot of contenders for my Game of the Year, but it's definitely at the top of my list with a few others for Game of the Year. And Frozen Wilds reminds me of that. Again, like everyone else said, it is just more Horizon, but it's so beautiful. The setting, I think, is gorgeous. Gameplay's a ton of fun. I enjoy the new weapons. The new enemies are pretty cool, too. Specifically, the Frostclaw. He's the main big enemy.
Yeah.
He was interesting to fight out. He throws up those icicles and stuff while you're fighting. But I got some gnarly screenshots of the Frostclaw in action. So that's one of my other favorite parts. I'm constantly pausing the game to take pictures because not only is the game so beautiful, but the photo mode is amazing in that game. I've yet to play photo mode in any other game, because many games have photo modes, but any of them that are quite as in depth and as intuitive and useful as the Horizon photo mode.
Very cool. I finished that this week, I think on Wednesday. I did all the trophies that come with it, got to level 60, found all the collectibles or whatever, and I highly enjoyed it. So that's still up there in my Game of the Year for sure. I'll have to see what if Zelda's DLC comes out this year, kind of see what that does.
Right.
For that.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to get back to it. After you and I talked at lunch, I'll probably just go ahead and get the rest of the trophies for that, aside from the New Game Plus stuff, which I may or may not do in this lifetime. I don't know.
Yeah.
But awesome game. Yeah. And I've been loving playing it again.
Very cool.
I will say one of the odd things I found is that most of the side characters that you interact with have better facial animations than Aloy does for some reason.
Really?
I don't know why. Not like significantly, but I don't know if it's because Aloy's like a default, has like a default set of expressions. I know that they animate all the interactions with characters, but some of them I feel like have better facial animations than Aloy does. I thought it was weird.
I can maybe
those other faces are just more expressive. Maybe Aloy's a little more laid back, and that's why I feel that way.
Maybe.
But I'm not saying it's bad by any means. I just thought some of them looked nicer.
A feature that I'm pretty sure was not in the original game, it was probably updated, or not probably, I'm pretty sure it was updated, is the ability to remove your headgear.
Oh, can you?
Yeah, you can turn it off in the options menu.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Which, thank God.
Because there's a few of them that look ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Once you get to a certain part in the story, you get like a Banuk.
I have that
tribes
one.
And
I don't wear it because it looks so ridiculous.
Well, you can take the headpiece off.
That's good.
Because the actual outfit looks pretty cool. But yeah, the headpiece is absolutely ridiculous and you can take it off.
Now explain to me why I should wear any of these other outfits. Because I even bought the new stealth outfit, but even my original stealth outfit is stealthier than the new one. I know I can add modifications to make the new one better, but even my main armor, your ancient armor that you get at the end of the game, still is the best thing to wear.
Yeah.
I don't know why you would wear anything else.
It is.
I mean, I guess it's DLC.
I mean, the Banuk one, it allows you to regain your health
right
automatically, oh, mm-hmm. but it's like not even that fast or whatever. So I ended up just going back to the shield, and they tried to make it not as good with those towers that shut your shield off, but
they're
super,
so easy to disable.
Yeah, super easy to go over, override it, or just blow it up to right. where it doesn't even matter.
Which I'm kind of glad, because you get that armor so close to the end of the game that you don't mm-hmm. really get to enjoy it. And I'm glad in this DLC I've been wearing the whole time, and it's yeah. been very useful.
Yeah.
So,
for sure.
Yeah, I like it a lot. I haven't finished the main story portion of it yet, but just.
You're pretty close. You got like probably an hour to hour and a half.
I was going
to
do a video of maybe a couple side missions and that final mission mm-hmm. for Horizon, just to reminisce a bit. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, awesome game.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. I guess we can talk about Justice League for a little bit before we hop into yeah. everything. So we went and saw Justice League.
We did.
Yeah. What'd you think?
I've been reflecting on it a lot, mm-hmm. and I've listened to a lot of in-depth reviews as well after seeing it, spoiler reviews. And when we first saw it, I was like, it was purely just whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like, it did not excite me at all. I was like, we watched it and we're like, all right, that was that. And we left. But I think reflecting on it, I think I would say I enjoyed it. Like, I thought it was entertaining, but nothing beyond that. Mm-hmm. As far, I mean, of course, this is beating a dead horse. The plot was super simplistic, but that's the thing. I can't complain about it, because I enjoy a lot of Marvel movies that also have very simplistic plots, but at the same time, those movies are better made than this Justice League movie was in a lot of ways. I mean, granted, that movie suffered so many issues, it's not even funny. I mean, just right out the gate, they had issues, especially because WB's meddling was a main part of it, just because BVS came out, and critically, that movie was not received very well. So they tried to do a bunch of course corrections as far as tone is concerned. So that was a problem going into the movie, and then Zack Snyder's daughter dying, and then Joss Whedon having to take over and do all these reshoots, and that was craziness, and having to bring Henry Cavill back in after they already shot everything, and now he has a mustache, having to deal with that, and that being out in the world, too. There's so many things going against Justice League that no matter what, I think that... I mean, technically, it's a box office fail. I wouldn't call it a failure, but it's a disaster, so to speak, which really sucks for WB and they're all involved. But as far as my movie-going experience, I thought there were some portions of it that I enjoyed. Specifically, the opening scene with Batman was kind of cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole movie was so... I mean, every superhero movie these days is just riddled with CGI. But I feel like some of them do it far better than others. Specifically, movies that came out like a few years ago, I feel like some of them look more realistic than some of the movies we're getting nowadays. I don't know if these movies are being rushed, but especially the reshot scenes in Justice League that used green screen were so blatantly obvious. And I could tell every single scene that was a reshoot that had Ben Affleck in it, because his weight would fluctuate. And it was most... I mean, some scenes, it would be an entire scene where Ben Affleck's a little chubbier, mm-hmm. and that's an entirely reshot scene. But the most glaring ones were the ones where it was cut between Ben Affleck when they originally shot it, and then whenever they did the reshoots, where his face is changing shape in the middle of a scene constantly. And the scene where he talks to Aquaman in Iceland or wherever they're at, mm-hmm. you can see his face back and forth changing shape the entire time, because he looks like... I'm not saying he was fat, but he was clearly cut more and when they originally shot it, and then switches frames and he's like has a chubby face. And just I think the worst looking scene in the entire movie is when he's talking to Aquaman, and Aquaman's standing in the water, just green screen right behind him and Ben Affleck, and they're just they probably weren't even in the same room on that day when they reshot that scene. It just looked awful, and it was so painfully obvious in all the reshot scenes. But I see performances, I thought it was pretty good. Ezra Miller I thought was okay. I didn't love him, but I thought he was pretty good. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see more of his Flash if they do continue with this universe. I don't know if they will after Justice League, because it's struggling big time. Cyborg I thought was great. I really liked mm-hmm. that actor a lot. He was probably the most interesting character to me, which I'm surprised to say, because I was not expecting that. I think a lot of people have said that about Cyborg. He was mm-hmm. cool. Ben Affleck definitely looked bored, but he had some pretty decent moments as Batman, aside from being kicked around a lot of the movie.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman was fine. Superman was fine. Everything was just fine.
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil it for anyone who hasn't seen it. That's the thing. I will say, I think it's worth going to see, because, I mean, granted, it's not what everyone had hoped Justice League would be when they came to the big screen for the first time, but mm-hmm. it's still Justice League. I think in that sense, it's worth watching. Mm-hmm. But I'm not saying it's the worst thing I've ever seen. I'm not saying I hated it. I just thought it was okay.
Yeah.
There's many more things I can say, but I'll let you go from here.
I mean, I'm more down on it than you are. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if I found it enjoyable. Mm-hmm. Reflecting back on it, there were countless points in the movie where I was bored out of my mind. And
you bought a pair of shoes in the middle of the movie.
So the later half, I got a notification of a Black Friday sale on some shoes. So I was buying those and was kind of looking up and watching the movie at the same time. And it was just them talking about the mother boxes or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I don't care about these boxes. Mm-hmm. It was just weird. There was like, at least in Batman versus Superman, that warehouse scene, I was like, whoa, that kicked ass. Yeah. I didn't think that one time during this movie.
No.
There
That's
was
what
not
I was so disappointed.
One point where I was like, wow, that was cool. It just, on those, even the cool action moments, I think they kind of just fell flat. It just looked like a CGI fest. And mm-hmm. the first time they showed Steppenwolf, the villain, I just thought, I was like, he can't look better than that. It just looks so...
He's a straight cartoon character.
Yeah, it just looked awful. Mm-hmm. It looks so bad.
Yeah.
Just really cheap looking CGI. I mm-hmm. don't know. And I'm going to come out here and say it. I don't know if I'm feeling Ben Affleck as Batman.
Oh, anymore. Me neither. I think he's had his run.
Yeah. I thought he was fine in Batman versus Superman. I kind of stood up for him in Batman versus Superman. Mm-hmm. I thought he was pretty good. But after this one, I'm just like, you clearly don't want to be here. I'm not sure I want you to be here anymore. Yeah.
I think in BVS, he definitely brought it for sure because that was his debut as Batman. He had something to prove then. But after the disastrous critical, I mean, it wasn't disastrous, but critical reception in BVS was very, very poor, as everyone knows. I think that took the wind out of his sails. And then going into Justice League, he was kind of like, F this. Yeah. I mean, there's a couple moments where I was like, that was cool, but most of it, I thought it was pretty bland.
I think he looks cool as Batman.
Definitely.
I just feel bad because I like Wonder Woman. I like Cyborg. Flash is okay. I like Jason Momoa's Aquaman. I thought he was cool. And it's just like, you've put them in this crappy universe that just, I don't care about at all. Mm-hmm. And it just sucks because it's like, I feel like they just have to start over because they've messed up too much.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't even know what they can do to salvage all this.
That's the problem, is that especially after Justice League, it was already a problem after Batman versus Superman and Suicide Squad, just all the negativity towards this movie. So that was also going against Justice League. People probably deciding like, well, I'm not going to go see Justice League because the other two movies burned me as well. You got to think, especially after Justice League and the box office reception of that movie, that it's a risk releasing any other DC movie after this. Because who's going to be that interested? Like, I think Aquaman's next up. I think that's coming out next year at some point. Mm-hmm. So I imagine, if I had to guess, I mean, I'm by no means a WB executive at all, so I have no idea what I'm talking about. But my guess would be, obviously, that movie's been in production for a while, so they'll release that movie. That could be the last DCEU movie as we know it. I don't know if they'll completely just cut it off and start fresh, or if they'll use Flash as a tool to do Flashpoint and reset everything. But at the same time, I feel like that would confuse general audiences if we have a brand new Batman.
And it even seems like the general audience kind of knows that these movies aren't very good because, mm-hmm. you know, Justice League didn't do as good as they think. So even if they just cut everything right now and they're like, all right, new Batman movie, is the general population going to think it's still a part of this universe? Like, it's just like they've dug themselves in a hole right now, just with everything DC, you know.
It's effectively burning to the ground before our eyes.
Yeah, and it, I don't
want it to fail because I like these characters a lot. I mean, I wouldn't say I'm even a diehard of Batman. Batman's always been my favorite superhero, mm-hmm. quote unquote superhero, but I'm not to the point where I want them to fail. I mean, I don't want anything to fail.
I mean,
like
I
that.
Want these movies to be great.
Me too.
That's why it's so just...
That's why it's disappointing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of anything. I'm trying to think of the positives of Justice League. I thought Gotham looked very cool, even though, it was very CGI. But to make Gotham look that comic booky and that gothic, it kind of has to be a CGI world. But mixed in with sets, of course. But I've always been a fan of a stylized Gotham City. As much as I love Nolan's trilogy, that's just Chicago. Mm-hmm. Which is fine. It's meant to be the grounded, realistic Batman. But I've always liked a stylized Gotham City. So if they do this, when they do the solo Batman movie that's currently in the works in pre-production with Matt Reeves, I would hope for a stylized Gotham with whoever plays Batman. But even that, like, one, who's going to play Batman, and will it even be attached to the DCEU anymore? Or will the solo Batman movie be the launching point for their next attempt?
Yeah.
I don't know.
See, I'm on the opposite. I don't recommend seeing this movie.
You know, I recommend it if you're a fan really of the characters, because I that's the reason why I thought it was just, I was like, oh, that was fine.
Yeah,
because there's just characters that I've enjoyed.
Like my uncle, for instance, he's into this stuff. He's a very casual, I like Batman fan, mm-hmm. and he asked me the other night, oh man, should I go see it? Nah, mm-hmm. just wait for it to come out on something else to watch it. It's just going to the movies is too freaking expensive, in my opinion, to just go see a movie right now.
I agree,
especially when there's really good stuff that looks like it's coming out, or I don't even know what's out in theaters right now.
Yeah, I know Coco's out, and I hear Coco's amazing, coming from Pixar, which is a relief because I wasn't disappointed, but I didn't really enjoy Good Dinosaur, or I didn't see Cars 3. I could care less about Cars, but I want to see Coco. I hear it's really good. So, yeah.
Excellent.
Justice League was okay.
It was okay. Yeah. Well, you want to get into the podcast?
Yeah.
All right. This is the It's Obvious Gaming Podcast, the show where my best friend and I get together every single week to discuss video games, obviously. You can find all of our content, including the video version of this podcast, over at youtube.com/It's Obvious Gaming. If YouTube is not good for you, or you'd like to take us on the go, you can find this podcast weekly at iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Audioboom, and other podcasting services. Please check the description down below for timestamps to skip throughout the podcast, links to our social media pages, our Discord channel, PlayStation Community, and other means to connect with us. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe to the channel and be sure to like and comment down below to get involved with the It's Obvious community. Doing so helps us out tremendously, and we'd forever be in your debt. Thank you very much. I'm sorry. I've had a lot of texts with work that I'm not very happy about, so sorry if I'm a little scatterbrained.
Oh,
right,
that's
now.
Okay. I can only imagine. Those kind of texts stress me out too.
Yeah. So. Anyways. I just am doing stuff that I didn't think I was going to be doing this week, and I'm super bummed.
I thought
I was pretty much going to have this entire week off to play video games.
Yeah,
and the tides have turned, so right. I'm sorry if I'm a little blah. If you see the video when I started looking at my phone, I might have been a little more scatterbrained than I was, but I'll try and get back on track. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
But anyways, hey man, what's the news?
Well, Preston, Hellblade is effectively proven that a space does exist in between the indie space and the AAA space, coming from Ninja Theory. This news comes courtesy of Tom Pert of TwinInfinite.net. Turns out Hellblade has sold over 500,000 units, which is pretty spectacular. And here's a few facts to rattle off here regarding Hellblade and its success. It has sold over 75,000 pre-orders across PC and PS4 before launch. 250,000 units sold in the first week at $30. Over 13 million in revenue generated in 3 months. 500,000 units sold in 3 months, which puts the project beyond break even and into profit. Development took 3 years with an average of a team size of 20. And the game sold as digital only, and about half those sales were on PC. So Hellblade, man, it was a great success for Ninja Theory. That's awesome.
That's really cool.
Yeah, I've yet to beat it. I actually intend on getting through the rest of it because I'm not at the end, but I'm nearing the end in Hellblade. Mm-hmm. So I want to get through the rest of that before the year's end so I can talk about it when we do our own Game of the Year talk. I won't be able to talk about it really for the Game Awards discussion we're going to do next week because I've yet to... Well, maybe. Maybe I'll beat it before we have that discussion because I know that'll be... I think it's a nomination for a couple of things, if I'm not mistaken.
A couple of things, I think.
So... I'd like to be able to talk about that game in its entirety.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, Hellblade, it's cool to see it be that successful for Ninja Theory.
Yeah, it is.
Awesome.
I'd like to see them just continue that. I don't know if it's a new IP or whatever it is.
Right.
I'd like to see them elaborate on it. Mm-hmm. It'd be cool.
For sure. I'd like to see more developers try to dig into that space that kind of exists in between and see if it can be a success.
Because I agree.
I really liked Hellblade. So if we get more, I'm not saying like I want all the games to be like Hellblade, but games of that scale could be cool.
Yeah.
Speaking of Hellblade, Cheeky asks from the community, what's your guys' favorite indie game this year? Mine would be Hellblade. Also, Preston, have you considered trying Humble Monthly? I think it's worth it, to be honest, to keep up the great content.
Humble Monthly?
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure I've accidentally done that for 2 months in a row.
Charging
my card.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I did do it for, if you signed up for a month, you got like Rise of the Tomb Raider, and it was cheaper to just be a member for 1 month than it was to even buy the game. So I did that, and then I forgot to
Is it a new game every month?
I think so. Like, this month is something with H1Z1 or something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just, I think it's Humble Bundle, and you pay like 12 for something dollars a month for stuff. I don't even know exactly what it does. So I should probably look into that a little bit more, because maybe I want to be a member of this, but I need to look more into it. As far as indie goes, I guess I can't think of another indie game that, I mean, I played Stardew, but I already talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would have to probably say that.
Yeah, Hellblade's up there for me too. I haven't even finished it yet, and it's definitely one of my favorites. I mean, I played a ton of stuff at PAX earlier this year, and even at E3 that were indie games. I didn't play them in their entirety, but I experienced them. I want to give a shout out to Gorn again. Gorn VR.
Gorn?
Yeah, it's one of the funniest, most entertaining VR.
Oh, that's the
VR.
Gladiator one?
That is hilarious, dude. That game is so much fun. But yeah, I think as far as games I've actually played for for an extended period of time, Hellblade's probably up there with me too.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed Stardew Valley for about 10 hours.
What about Cuphead?
Oh yeah, Cuphead's awesome.
That's an indie. Yeah.
It is, yeah. That's another one. That's tough. Maybe I don't know. I mean, I haven't even beaten Cuphead, but both of those are awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I've dabbled in Cuphead again at Evan's house on his projector.
Mm.
I mean, that game already looks magnificent on a TV, but on his big wall, it looks gorgeous.
Yeah.
So.
I want Cuphead on the Switch, please.
It was born to be on Switch.
Yeah.
It would thrive on Switch.
I want it there.
It's got to be a matter of time. They'd be crazy not to put it on that platform.
I guess it depends on the exclusivity deal
Microsoft
has down on it.
You're right. Mm, being tied down by Microsoft.
Yeah. Shame. Who knows? They might. I haven't looked into it.
It's been a big success. I know they've sold over 1 million copies. I haven't checked since then or heard anything since then, but that's cool.
Yeah.
The only other bit of news we have this week, it's very shallow news week, is about Games with Gold for December on Xbox, speaking of Microsoft. We have Warhammer End Times, Vermintide, coming on December 1st for Xbox One. You ever played a Warhammer game?
I played... Nope, never played it. Maybe I did. I played like a Space Marine Warhammer 40K or something like that. It was on 360.
Oh, I remember you playing that.
It was like a third-person shooter.
It was literally called like Warhammer Space Marine or something.
Yeah, something like that. You have like a sword or something.
You have a big blue suit of armor.
Yeah. Which that's like a spinoff of, I think, this franchise. But in terms of like one of the main games, I'm pretty sure it's like an RTS game, I think. Maybe. I'm not sure.
I'm
not going to talk anymore.
Back to the Future, the game 30th anniversary edition. Back to the Future is a solid trilogy of movies.
It is.
I love the first and second one especially.
I don't think the game was a Telltale game.
That's right.
Yeah, this is like before Walking Dead, so.
I didn't know it was before Walking Dead.
Yeah. They did like a Jurassic Park game. They did the Back to the Future game. They did a few things that weren't like really critically praised until Walking Dead. And then everything after that.
I haven't had anything driving me to play season 2 of Batman from Telltale.
Me either.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed season 1.
I really liked season 1.
Mm-hmm. And just for its originality as well with the characters. But I've not felt compelled to go to season 2. I don't know why.
Maybe when it's all done.
Yeah.
I'll feel more compelled.
Child of Eden.
Oh, it's that UB art game.
Mm.
I've heard it's great.
I've heard that title. I've probably seen it in action, too. I just haven't played
it. It's like a turn-based RPG from the UB art thing.
Okay.
You're like a little girl floating around with a sword.
Oh, that one.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Lastly, Marlowe Briggs and the Mask of Death.
Mm, classic.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
Yeah, it's a great game.
Coming to Xbox One and 360.
Hopefully
stuff's still
that.
Coming to 360, man.
Wow.
So, cool. I might whip out the old 360 for that game.
Maybe.
It's a little more nostalgic and more classic on 360.
Yeah. I agree. Throw away your X. Go get a 360.
Amen, brother.
Yeah.
This isn't our main... We don't really have a main topic this week, but I guess we can briefly talk about the Destiny situation we were discussing. It's like nothing really...
I don't even know anything about it.
Me neither. All I heard is that Bungie lied, or Bungie wasn't clear on their system they had implemented to scale down XP if you had spent too much time doing one activity over and over and over again.
Okay.
Apparently, it's upset a bunch of people from the in and out of the Destiny community. Mm-hmm. People have been very vocal about it. But same thing with the loot box situation. I'm just so numb to it all. I'm like, yeah. I don't really give a crap.
Yeah. But I'm not playing Destiny.
No, I mean, I quit Destiny long time ago. I think I stopped playing after, as soon as we did that raid video, I was mm-hmm. like, all right, I think I'm done now.
Yeah.
I don't hate Destiny. I think it's a super fun game. Mm. And I'm very thankful for the opportunities that I have to go to Bungie and experience like the new content that's coming down the line, which I always enjoy doing. But as far as just casually playing Destiny on my own time, I'm just not interested. I mean, part of that has to do with all the other games that have come out. Mm. But at the same time, I even with Destiny 1, man, by the end of it, I was just so bored. Mm. And with Destiny 2, it's not that much different.
Yeah.
Just kind of the same thing for me. So.
Yeah.
I don't know what maybe that formula of gameplay just doesn't appeal to me at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, I enjoy Destiny. I think it's fun. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed playing the raid a few times when it, you know, initially came out. I was really addicted to it, and I was looking forward to Osiris drawing me back in, but after hearing pretty much like the unanimous, you know, bad things about it from every, you know, publication, I'm just not that interested. And especially hearing it from the horse's mouth himself over here.
Right.
I'm just not as, you know, excited, and I might not hop back into it. I'm not sure yet.
And I mean, I deleted it off my PlayStation. Mm. I mean, it's in the cloud,
obviously. I have two more trophies to get the platinum, so I'm assuming at one point, you know, later on down the line, I'll just pop it back in and get the remaining two trophies just to get that out of the way. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, if I did dedicate time, it would be on PC. So who knows? Maybe the second expansion will be good enough to draw me back in to where I'll play through, you know, Osiris and that as well, and it'll be worth it. So who knows?
Time will tell.
Time will tell. But I do think it's funny that a lot of the people complaining about the XP things are the people that I've previously seen
complaining about the loot box thing.
Or no, not the loot box, just complaining about Destiny in general. They didn't buy it in the first place. Like, man, why do you even care? You don't even play Destiny.
I guess some people just love having something to fight for.
I guess. I mean, I don't play Destiny either. And if Bungie lied, then yeah, don't lie. That sucks.
I mean, I don't know. Again, we don't know anything about it, but I don't know if they technically lied, if they just weren't transparent about it. I don't know if that counts as a lie unless they were asked about it and they mm-hmm. denied it. I don't know if that's the case.
Yeah, which, yeah, that sucks.
Yeah.
But, like, I guess as punishment, don't buy their game. I guess that's what it all comes back to. Just don't buy the games. Yeah. If you don't like a publisher or developers, don't buy their games. Mm-hmm. So that's really, I think that's the, that is the solution to all of these problems, is just stop buying the game. And then if enough people do it, you know, they get the message, and, you know, that's all you can do.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it is what it is, I guess.
It is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, that brings us to community questions, Preston. It's a very snappy podcast. There's not a whole lot to discuss, unfortunately, this week. But it's good to be here with you regardless.
Yes, sir.
Thank you to each and every one of you who send us questions every single week to keep these conversations at the end of every episode flowing. Because we greatly appreciate them. And we have a stockpile of Ask IOG questions to get to, which we can't do this week, as usual, because we have to do the normal podcast on a day we'd normally do Ask IOG because I have to go out of town. So we just got to make the time somehow. I know there's a way. If there's a will, there's a
way.
We'll
invent an eighth day to the week.
We will. Yeah. It's a shame that it's almost impossible to do videos with all three of us aside from Saturday or Sunday every week. Uh-huh. Which one could argue, why don't you just do both shows back to back? That's just grueling to do. I would do it if we had to at one point, but just to do two podcasts of that length back to back can be pretty exhausting.
I mean, you physically can't today. Mm. You have to go to work.
Yeah.
So. I mean, that affects it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I have things to go do back in my neck of the woods.
Yes.
So.
We will get to Ask IOG eventually, though. We still encourage you guys to keep sending us questions, because we will have questions for weeks on end for Ask IOG that will keep us supplied for several episodes. Mm-hmm. So if you guys have a random question to throw away, never hesitate to do so. You can reach us in one of three places. You can email us at itsobviousgaming@gmail.com. You can tweet at us at @obvious_gaming or submit your questions in the Ask IOG section on our Discord channel. I think I already said that. Using the hashtag #AskIOG so that we know you want your questions read on the show. But the first one comes from John Kamen 225. He says, What's that one story from Thanksgiving that always gives a good laugh and gets the crowd talking? Mine would be one of my extended family members came down and went to church with us and got her nice jacket ruined during the service by the cat that always hung around. It's always a good story. What's a good Thanksgiving story that's just a good one to tell every year?
Thanksgiving story?
I might have a few.
Man, I don't even know if I have one. Thanksgiving is pretty boring. You just eat food.
Yeah, food that I am just not that into.
This year was surprisingly pretty good.
Was it?
Yeah.
Mine was, wait till I tell you about mine.
Lizzie made some crazy good macaroni and cheese.
Nice.
My dad fried a turkey.
Did you have Thanksgiving at your parents' house?
Yeah, I did.
Nice.
And some nice broccoli and cheese casserole. Mm. It's delicious.
So you had a real Thanksgiving.
Homemade rolls, dressing. Yeah, all the stuff. It's pretty good.
Nice. Well, before I talk about a few Thanksgiving stories, I'll talk about my Thanksgiving this year. Mine was shattered. My entire family is all over the place. Mostly due to the fact that my sister is studying for finals for school and I had to work this weekend. So my parents went to my mom's aunt and uncle's house in Jacksonville, Florida, with most of my family was all there in Jacksonville, Florida, having Thanksgiving on Thanksgiving Day. My sister and I couldn't go to my dad's parents' house because they were invited to a friend's house before they found out that Anna and my sister and I couldn't do anything. We were originally going to go to my grandparents' house in Dahlonega, but they ended up accepting an invitation from friends of theirs well before we could get back to them about whether or not we were going to join them. So my sister and I were confined to sitting in my house. My mom tried to get us a few Thanksgiving items to just kind of heat up in the oven on the day of. We had a ham that was a few days old that I nibbled at a little bit. I nibbled at some ham. My sister made this weird, like, out-of-the-freezer macaroni and cheese that you just heat up. And I had some of that. That's all I had. And I barely nibbled at it. We watched The Office while we ate that stuff. And then a couple hours later, I had like four bowls of Captain Crunch. That was my Thanksgiving.
Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty rad.
I should have had y'all over at our place.
Yeah, oh well. That's the second weirdest. That's probably the third. That's probably the worst Thanksgiving I've had. The second worst was when we, I mean, it was very nice of them, but we were invited to our friend's, our neighbor's house. Yeah. We had the Egyptian Thanksgiving. All the Egyptian themed dishes. That was weird. We went to Golden Corral 2 years in a row when none of our family could get together. It sounds like, oh, you have a really messed up family. No one wants to get together for Thanksgiving, but all of our family members are all different ages doing different things. So it's going to be kind of hard to have all of us get together every year. But more often than not, like most of my life has all been like big Thanksgivings with my family. But the last 5 or 6 years have all been kind of strange because of schedule conflicts and stuff. But yeah, Golden Corral a couple years. Egyptian, and this year just me and my sister kicking it.
Nice.
So
I want to give a shout out to pecan pie.
Pecan pie, huh?
It is delicious. It is so good. I have it like once a year at Thanksgiving, and it's like every year I forget about how much I enjoy it. It is so good.
Yeah. On a classic Thanksgiving, I love some turkey and ham with some gravy, mashed potatoes, mac and cheese, broccoli, stuffing.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff's pretty good. I mean, I love a good plate of all those items, but this year it just was not very good. I won't say, I don't want people to misunderstand me. I don't hate Thanksgiving food. I just don't get that excited about it.
No, I don't either. I think it's fine. It's overrated. But my argument is if it was so good, then why aren't we eating it?
Three days a week.
More than one time a week. A year.
Yeah. So, well, whatever. It was an interesting Thanksgiving this year. As far as stories are concerned, let me think. I had a couple floating around in my head. I may have forgotten. I don't know if this is funny, but it's funny to me. Someone might think it's like dark humor, but my aunt and uncle were going through a rough patch in the relationship. They eventually got divorced, but they're going through a rough patch in the relationship where my uncle was basically outcast from my family, but not to the point where he was uninvited to Thanksgiving. So he kind of just was by himself all 5 days there at my house for Thanksgiving, just trying to do his own thing. And I felt so bad that my sister and I just like took him to the mall because he was just, no one would talk to him for like 5 days. And he just sat there and I felt so bad. I couldn't imagine how uncomfortable he was the whole time. So I was like, you want to just go to the mall? So we took him to the, I mean, he's not a very nice guy at all. Later found out he's pretty much a douchebag, but at the time we felt bad for him. So we took him to the mall on like Thanksgiving Day because no one would talk to him. So that was pretty funny.
Nice.
Some dark humor for you there.
That's cool.
But there's got to be something funny. I just can't think of it off the top of my head.
Thanksgiving is just kind of a...
Nothing really happens on Thanksgiving for me.
We went to the Dillard House one year for Thanksgiving. We rented a log cabin up in the mountains and drove down to the Dillard House and waited 12 hours to
12
get there.
12 hours?
12 hours. We got there super early, and it was like the end of the day that we could even eat. Maybe it was... Hang on. It's 12 hours. I don't think it was 12 hours. That's too long. It was like 8 or something. It was an insanely long time. And we just sat there, Garrett. We just stood.
All day.
Yeah, we just stood there and just walked around. I mean, it's on a beautiful piece of land. Have you ever been there to the Dillard House?
I feel like I have been at least once.
It's delicious. You don't order. You sit down and they just bring you like crap tons of food and it's unlimited.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a Thanksgiving, and of course everybody on planet Earth wanted to go there for Thanksgiving. So we had to wait our turn, and it's on like a giant piece of property where you can pay to stay there and stuff. So it's cool, but not for, not to stay there for like 8 or 9 hours or whatever. So that was probably one of the most boring Thanksgiving days I can remember. Staying at the cabin was really cool, though.
I bet.
Yeah. That's about it for me.
Nice. Yeah, I got nothing for you. I apologize.
Sorry, I wish I would have invited you over for Thanksgiving.
That's all good.
We had so much food, Garrett.
I bet. Pandaman Games says, what is the best things you guys had this Thanksgiving? For me, it was Captain Crunch.
It's pecan pie.
Okay.
That's good. And Lizzie's mac and cheese.
Nice. Chief Beef says, Gazillion, the developer of Marvel Heroes, have reportedly laid off their whole dev team with no severance pay on Thanksgiving Eve. The game itself will cease operation on Friday, the 24th of November, as opposed to the original date of the 31st of December. Also, there are reports of players who have recently spent money on microtransactions and are trying to get a refund. I wondered what your thoughts were on cloud-based games such as this. Could it be possible that that we are heading into a future of gaming where they are more prevalent along with microtransactions? You know what's funny about Marvel Heroes? I think I heard that title months and months ago, but I just don't even know what it is. I don't even know what Marvel's Heroes is.
It's supposed to be a Diablo game with Marvel people. Yeah.
Do you create your own hero or do you play
as
characters?
You play as other characters. I don't know a ton about it. But I've heard, obviously, a lot more about it as it was announced that it was being shut down. But as far as what I can see is you play as Diablo Heroes, and it's a free-to-play game, I think, and you can open, like, boxes or pay for different heroes to play as with different skins and stuff. So from what I've seen, people really enjoy the game and stuff. I don't know why exactly. I mean, I'm assuming it was shut down due to financial reasons. You not having even heard of it might have been a reason. I'm sure a lot of people might not have heard about it. But I was wondering what your thoughts are on cloud-based games such as this. Could it be possible that we're heading a future of gaming where they are more prevalent? I guess if they make money, then they'll become more prevalent. But I can't even think of any right now. Really?
Me neither.
So...
I just had this weird thought. I was looking up at my poster wall there, and I was looking at New Bordeaux from Mafia 3. Mm. I'm just thinking, like, why is that on my wall? What a disappointment that game was. Well, I had some fun moments, but it was a disappointment. Now I have that poster. I think it's just because I
should take it down.
I have maps on my wall from many of the game worlds I've explored. Yeah. As you can see.
It should be a privilege to be on your wall. You shouldn't just throw up anything up there.
Yeah, it just kind of filled in that gap that I needed something to fill in. Like, I put the Mario poster down here because it fit there in that little slot there. So
you put Game of the Year Mario Odyssey down at your feet.
Yeah.
You throw Mafia 3 up to the sky.
It's because of the size of that Mario
poster.
You
got Zelda over there in the corner.
It's because they're so petite. They fit in those small corners.
Yeah.
Where all these big ones fill up those big gaps.
Yeah.
So I still want to acoustically treat this room.
Yeah.
Which is going to be a task.
That'd be nice. Well, Garrett, what do you think about the question?
I don't have anything to say. I have no idea about cloud games. I don't know anything about them, really. I don't know any that exist that I can think of, because I don't keep up with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the only answer I can say is if we're heading into a future where they're more prevalent.
I'd say at the moment, no, because I don't really know of it. I mean, granted, I could be totally clueless, but I can't think of
I don't even know what he means by cloud-based gaming. Like, does that mean you, like, your progress is saved in the cloud? Would Destiny be like a cloud-based game because all your data is in the cloud or whatever? I don't know.
Maybe.
It's I
mean, microtransactions at the moment, yes, but after the EA thing, maybe it'll shift a little bit.
I can tell you if we're heading into a future of things that are making money. I think that's a pretty
anything that makes money,
sure,
that's the direction we're headed
answer,
in until something changes.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll see. That was Chief Beef. Seeker 17 says, what do you think that console games are what isn't even in a sentence. I added that to a sentence for some reason. Do you think that console games will ever offer native keyboard and mouse support?
Some games do. I know.
Does Final Fantasy count as a native one?
I'm assuming it just means you think consoles would just offer just plug in a keyboard and be able to play. So some games do. I don't think gaming consoles are going to allow you ever to just plug in a mouse and keyboard to play first person shooters because that's not fair. So
no,
I don't think so. I think Final Fantasy, it makes sense.
I think
so
in games like that, I can see it.
It makes sense. And I don't necessarily
anything competitive, I wouldn't imagine it would be in there.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I guess in PvP for Final Fantasy, you can make the argument, but yeah, who cares? But I just in terms of first person, I think just primarily for first person shooters, they're probably not going to do anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll say probably not is my guess to that.
Yeah. Ronnie Garcia says, what would you like to see from Rocksteady next? I personally would want a sixth entry into the Batman series, if you count Origins and VR, but know that a lot of people think they're going to do something else like Superman.
I would love to see them try Superman. I want to see a competent developer try Superman and figure out what they can do about him being pretty much invincible.
And the fact that he can fly the speed of a bullet.
Yeah.
He can traverse an open world in 2 seconds.
Exactly. So I would just like to see a competent developer try and tackle just mechanics like that, or either like restricting his power back or whatever. But this is hard because I would love to see Rocksteady do another Batman game, especially based on the feedback they got from Arkham Knight. I really think that we would get an incredible Batman game with elements of Knight that people actually like Batmobile driving. I would love for them to just completely tank out the tank, just drive around the Batmobile, throw boss fights back in there.
I want to go back to earlier in Batman's career.
Yeah.
I want another just night in the life of Batman where it isn't the whole world or the whole city is going to blow up. I just want something simple, like a simple Batman
and
story.
And I don't even see how they could progress the series. The ending of Arkham Knight was pretty, like, it was done.
Yeah.
So I'm not really sure what they could do.
Yeah, me neither.
So I think it would have to be something prequel or just start over or have, I don't know, Dick Grayson come in and take over being Batman or something
which
like that.
I've never really been into. I know it's probably cool for the comics, but if I'm playing Batman, I prefer to be Bruce Wayne.
Yeah. I would like to see the rumored, I mean, I don't think it's necessarily rumored anymore, but the TMNT Rocksteady game.
Oh, yeah.
I think that might be pretty cool.
That could be cool. I wouldn't see the relevance nowadays. Like, I mean, I know there's Ninja Turtle fans, but I can't see really where the hype would be for something like that.
Yeah, and I mean, I would be hyped just because I want to see what Rocksteady's doing next, but I don't know. A lot of people are bringing it up again now that the Turtles are coming to Injustice, so they're like, oh, man, WB's throwing them out there, you know, into the games and stuff.
See what the reaction's
like.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I'd also like to see Rocksteady just do something their own, not, you know, not work with an IP, make something that, you know, just they want to make from scratch. And maybe, I think WB Montreal, the people that made Origins, I think I would be completely fine if they were to kind of take over the Batman series or do something else or do like a Superman game, because I think Origins is extremely underrated. I think that was a really fantastic Batman game and deserves to be in the group of Rocksteady games for sure.
And so, I think WB Montreal deserves another chance to do another Batman as well, based off of Origins, especially after Knight, what they also probably learned from Knight. they could take elements from Knight and implement it into their own Batman game.
I mean, Origins did a lot of stuff better than Knight did.
Yeah, and continue.
For instance, the Pyro guy.
They didn't, right. They didn't oh my gosh. Yeah. Holy crap. Yeah, there's that's the thing. Like, Arkham Knight is so good, but in so many other ways, it's also just so bland.
Yeah.
Which is so strange because it's, I love that game, but at the same time, there's so many issues with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I do want to see more Batman from either Montreal or Rocksteady. I think Rocksteady would be ideal, but I get the feeling that Rocksteady is probably going to do something new. But at the same time, Rocksteady's been tweeting a ton of Batman Arkham concept art.
Mm-hmm.
I know they've been hiring artists and stuff in recent weeks, but I don't know if they're tweeting Arkham concept art, because I think I recently started following Rocksteady. I don't know if that's something they just always do just to maintain that engagement with their fans. But I don't know if they're doing that to build up hype to something, or if they're trying to detract from other rumors that they're doing Superman or something else by sharing Arkham concept art. I don't know. I think whatever they do, if it's in the DC universe and it isn't Batman, I think it will be connected to their Arkham universe in some fashion.
Okay.
Like, it'll exist in that same world.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to see more Batman, but I'm also not opposed to them trying something else.
Yeah.
I get the feeling we're going to see an announcement at either Game Awards or PSX from something like that. I get the feeling we will. If not, they're definitely E3 next year, mm-hmm. but I'd like to see an announcement of Rocksteady.
What about a Justice League game?
That's the thing. I think about that. Any kind of team-up games, I'm like, what's the point? Like, you're supposed to play as all the characters. I've never been attracted to games where it's like, pick which character you want to play as.
No, I agree.
I feel like
play the same.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I feel like if you're not just focused on making one character great, it kind of makes...
I feel like that's what Injustice is for, if you want to play a Justice League game. Because that's a really awesome Justice League game, mm-hmm. especially Injustice 2.
Yeah.
So, even though it is just purely a fighting game,
mm-hmm.
but granted, we could argue that Batman Arkham is just a fighting game in a lot of ways, even though there's a lot more to it than that.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I want to see more Batman, but again, for Rocksteady.
Yeah, I don't want the Arkham series. I don't think it's going to happen, but I want the Arkham series just to be Batman. I don't want, you know... Was it confirmed that Superman existed in this?
I think there
series?
Was a tease. Like, I think they mentioned Clark's name or Superman's name or something.
Lex Luthor.
That's what it was. Yeah. I know Lex Corp is in there.
Yeah.
So he's definitely exists.
Yeah.
But
that's true.
Don't know.
It's
man.
Just like, I like Batman taking on just the humans and stuff.
Me too.
It's like when it gets to him fighting like aliens and stuff,
I'm trying to think of a villain we haven't explored much in the Arkham series that I'd like to see explored if they did another Batman game. I still think they should just go, especially if Montreal's doing it, because mm-hmm. they started 8 years before Arkham Asylum. They have all that time to play with.
Yeah.
They could do so much in that time period. You could team up with Robin like throughout the entirety of a game.
Yeah.
Instead of just like little bits here and there.
Yeah. I want to see more Deathstroke.
Hey, what if they took... that'd be cool. Yeah, because Deathstroke was so underutilized in Arkham Knight.
Oh, and Knight, he sucked. It was the worst thing. I liked him in Origins.
Yeah,
I thought
he was
that
great
boss
in Origins.
Fight was awesome.
Imagine... This might be kind of weird. This is a random thought. Imagine a... I'm not saying tone or gameplay-wise, but the idea of like Joel and Ellie hanging out through the entirety of a game, their relationship building. Imagine like Batman and Robin hanging out to that extent throughout an entire game, doing an entire case together in one night. Could be kind of cool.
That would be cool.
Where they get to know each other a little better. Maybe they've just teamed up.
Yeah.
And Batman's like training him throughout the game.
That would be, when you're talking about like, I don't want to pick my character, I would not mind switching between Batman and Robin, because they play similarly enough to where one could have different gadgets and could do a certain situation better than Batman could, that I wouldn't mind that at all, switching back and forth.
I know you did that in Arkham Knight DLC when you teamed up with Nightwing and a couple other characters, where in the middle of combat you could switch back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
So I really liked Arkham Knight's DLC, I'll say that. I thought it was good with Killer Croc and I think Mr. Freeze was in there, and Ra's al Ghul and stuff.
I didn't play that one.
It was pretty good. I enjoyed it.
Wasn't it fairly short?
It was pretty short.
But do you fight Killer Croc?
You do. It's a big boss battle. It's pretty fun.
That's cool.
A lot of goons running. I've always loved the designs of all. The Arkham's universe, Rocksteady's Batman universe, is my favorite iteration of Batman.
I'm so dumb. I was like, I really like Arkham because you just fight dudes and then there's just a giant crocodile running around. I completely forgot.
Yeah. So, I love the style of the Arkham universe. I think it looks so awesome.
Yeah.
So... yeah, that's about all I have to say about Rocksteady today, and that is the final question of the week.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Thanks for sending them in, guys. You can send them in at itsobviousgaming@gmail.com or to ask IOG in our Discord channel, or if you just go down in the comments down below and ask us a question with ask IOG, hashtag ask IOG, we'll know that you want your question to be on the show, and you can also do that on Twitter as well.
You can.
So that was the It's Obvious Gaming Podcast. It's where my two best friends and I, well, just one today, get together every single week to discuss video games, obviously. Please check us out at youtube.com/It's Obvious Gaming, and please subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. We would greatly appreciate that. We're trying to get up to 2K before the end of the year. You're and I'm dying here. I'm so tired. I don't know what happened.
I would give anything to not go to work tonight. It's going to suck.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to be there. It's so annoying. They do Sunday night shows that go to like 2 in the morning. I'm like, who on earth is going to a show till 2 in the morning on
Sunday? Are people there?
Yes.
Man.
I guess just want you people to love going to bars any day of the week.
Do they have work in the morning?
I assume so.
Wow.
Maybe they don't. It could be a bunch of homeless people for all I know.
Maybe. I can't imagine staying up till 2 a.m. at a show and then like showing up at the office tomorrow at like 7 or 8.
Can't imagine.
Goodness. Well, I'm sorry you have to do that. At least you can bring your Switch with you.
At least. Just that drive to and from Atlanta is getting to me, man. I get now why my girlfriend moved to Atlanta, because she used to commute like I do to and from school. And driving to and from Atlanta like 5 days a week is just death, man.
Dude.
Kills me.
No clue.
I just can't stand it anymore.
Well, actually, you have a clue. My commute this past couple of months working over here just in the morning, it's almost 2 hours back and forth. Back and forth. It's almost driven me mad.
Because you're driving over here for work. Yeah. Or you have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just sometimes it's, you know, like I said, almost 2 hours. And then driving home, it's always at least an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And just doing that for, you know, like 2-3 months, it just, oh my gosh, just takes its toll on you. I feel like I'm in the car more than I'm out of the car.
Right.
And your butt just aches like after the hour and a half. And it's just, I hate it.
It's the worst too when you've exhausted all your podcasts. It's like, what, do you just sit here in silence now?
Yeah, I guess. Listen to the radio?
Yeah.
Like, what am I?
I don't know, man. I was going to say I commend you for making the drive over here every weekend, because I experienced your drive all the way to my house from your house when I drove home. And granted, it was very late at night, so I didn't experience any traffic, but just the trip alone without traffic was pretty lengthy. So
yeah,
hats off to you, Preston.
Thank you.
For making the trip to be here with us.
Yeah, I'm pretty used to it, so I don't even think about it, but it's a little long.
Mm-hmm.
So the way I get home is I don't even touch 20. I don't go near the Mall of Georgia on the way home because it just makes everything way longer.
Yeah.
So I take like all these back roads to go through like Gainesville and stuff to get home. So, which is, I kind of did the length of time, and it technically is the same amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I'm not going through any traffic, it's just longer. So it gives the illusion that I'm going faster because there's no traffic. But I think honestly, it might be faster to just go through the Mall of Georgia, but I'm
well,
not sure.
I know we all appreciate you being here.
Thanks.
Yeah, but as far as this week is concerned, you can count on 2 or 3 Let's Plays from Jacob and I. We might stream a couple nights this week. I actually have time to stream. I didn't have time to stream last week, but if anyone wants to hang out on a stream, we will be doing that, I imagine.
I might be able to make it for the Game Awards stream.
Okay.
Because technically, my new job I'm starting doesn't start until December 11th.
Mm-hmm.
And it is in Atlanta all the way through January 5th.
Okay.
So I will be here the remainder of the year. Hopefully for trying to not travel as much.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully that's going to be the standard here from this point on. I mean, I'm not going to be dumb and just, I'm never traveling, because just in my line of work, that's pretty impossible to never, ever travel. But I definitely want to cut that off as much as possible. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, but it doesn't start until the 11th, so I was assuming I'm not really going to have a lot of work until then, so I very well could have, you know, the 7th or before or after off easily.
That'd be great.
So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll figure that out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I hope everyone has a wonderful week inside and outside of video games. And again, I'll be in New York City. If anyone lives in New York City and wants to chill one night, show me around town. I'd love that. Sounds Every time weird. I go to a city and anyone claims to live there, I never hear from them. So I guess
a bunch of fakers, huh?
Yeah, that or they just hate me.
That.
So, oh well.
Oh well.
But yeah, I look forward to talking to you guys this week on Discord and the YouTube comments below and playing some games more than likely.
Absolutely. Sounds good.
Cool.
Gary, it's been a pleasure.
As always.
I'll talk to you later this week.
Yes, sir.
All right. We'll see you guys next week as well.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye-bye.